Welcome to the deep dive. Today we're going to be tackling cloud computing.
Sounds fun.
Now, I know starting out in this field,
Oh, yeah?
it can feel like trying to drink from a fire hose, right? So many concepts, so many tools. Where do you even begin?
It's tough.
And that's exactly what we're here to unpack today.
Okay.
We've got a stack of resources specifically chosen for you.
Right.
Our mission is to help you build a clear roadmap for your cloud journey.
And we'll do that by focusing on the practical, not just the theory.
Exactly.
We'll break down those overwhelming concepts, explore those essential tools, and even address some real-world challenges you might face.
Okay, awesome. Let's dive in.
Okay.
One term you'll hear everywhere is cloud stack.
It
sounds intimidating, but what's a good way to sort of visualize this?
So think of it like building a house.
Okay.
You have different layers, right? You got the foundation, you got the framing, the plumbing and electrical.
Right.
And finally, the finishing touches that make it a home.
Mm-hmm. A cloud stack is similar.
So instead of like concrete and lumber, we're talking about different types of cloud services. Like AIS, PIS, and SaaS.
Yes. ATIAS, or infrastructure as a service, is your foundation.
Okay.
It's like renting the raw land and building materials.
Gotcha.
You have control over every detail, but you also handle all the construction yourself. Amazon EC2, Azure Virtual Machines, and Google Compute Engine are some examples.
Okay. Then you move up to PaaS, or Platform as a Service. What does that layer look like?
Imagine a prefabricated house.
Okay.
The walls, roof, and basic utilities are already in place. You can customize the interior and add your personal touches.
Oh, okay.
But you don't need to worry about the structural engineering. Platforms like AWS Elastic Beanstalk, Azure App Service, and Google App Engine fall under this category.
That makes sense. So with PaaS, you can focus on building the application part of the house, the interior design, so to speak, rather than the foundation. And then we have SaaS, or Software as a Service.
Right.
What's that like?
Think of SaaS as like staying in a fully furnished hotel.
Okay.
Everything is ready to go. The bed is made. The towels are folded. You just walk in and enjoy.
You don't worry about maintenance or upkeep.
Nope.
Okay.
Yeah.
Everyday tools like Office 365 or Google Workspace.
Right.
Great examples of SaaS.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm getting a clearer picture of these different layers.
Yeah.
But as someone starting out, do I need to master all three layers of the cloud stack right away?
Not at all. Focus on one area to begin with and build your knowledge from there.
Okay.
It's like learning to build a house.
Yeah.
You wouldn't start with electrical wiring before you understand the basics of framing.
That's a good point.
Right.
So maybe start with one provider and one type of service.
Yeah.
What would you recommend for someone who's completely new to the cloud?
I think it's smart to start with one cloud provider like AWS, Azure, or Google Cloud and explore their free tier offerings.
These allow you to experiment with different services without breaking the bank.
That's a really good point, especially when you're just starting out.
Right.
Some of the resources mentioned in your notes recommend starting with foundational courses. Things like AWS Educate, Microsoft Learn, or Google Cloud Training. Do you think these are valuable?
Absolutely. They provide structured learning paths and hands-on labs that give you that crucial learn-by-doing experience.
Yeah, they're great. Speaking of learning by doing, the material really emphasizes project-based learning.
Yeah.
They suggest building projects like a personal website, a serverless application, a CI/CD pipeline, or even tackling database management.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on this?
I completely agree with that approach.
Okay.
It's like the difference between reading about carpentry and actually building a bookshelf.
Right.
Projects solidify your understanding and give you tangible results.
I like that. It's that feeling of accomplishment that keeps you motivated.
Thanks.
Right. And it's something you can showcase to potential employers. But with so many project ideas, where do you recommend starting?
Let's focus on the personal website project for a moment.
Okay.
Imagine building your own platform to showcase your work, your blog, or even just your favorite cat pictures.
Nice.
You control the design, the content, and the entire infrastructure behind it.
So I'm not just uploading files to a web hosting service.
Heron.
I'm actually building the server that hosts the website.
Exactly.
That sounds intimidating.
It might seem daunting.
Yeah.
But with the right resources and a step-by-step approach, it's totally achievable.
Okay.
And imagine the satisfaction of seeing your website live on the internet, knowing you built it from scratch in the cloud.
That would be pretty cool.
Right.
And I guess it would give you a deep understanding of how websites work under the hood. What kind of skills would I need to build a personal website in the cloud?
You'd learn about core cloud tools like compute, storage, and networking. You'd use a service like Amazon S3 to store your website's files, configure a virtual machine to act as a web server, and learn how to connect a custom domain name.
So I'd get hands-on experience with those essential cloud tools we talked about earlier. And I'm guessing security is a big part of this as well.
Absolutely. You'd learn about setting up firewalls, implementing access controls, and protecting your website from vulnerabilities. Security is crucial, especially when you're dealing with user data or sensitive information.
Right. It sounds like building a personal website is a fantastic way to get a taste of the power and flexibility of cloud computing.
For sure.
But I'm sure there are challenges involved as well. What are some common hurdles beginners might face with this project?
One common challenge is feeling overwhelmed by the sheer number of options available.
Yeah, I can see that.
Choosing the right cloud services, configurations, and security settings can feel like navigating a maze.
Right. It's that drinking from a fire hose feeling again.
Exactly.
How can beginners sort of avoid getting lost in that maze?
Start by focusing on the core services needed for your project.
Okay.
For a website, that would be compute, storage, and networking. Don't try to learn everything at once.
Right.
Pick one service, understand it thoroughly, and then move on to the next.
So it's about breaking down the project into smaller, more manageable steps and focusing on mastering the fundamentals.
Yeah.
What are some other challenges beginners might encounter?
Cost management is another big one.
Yeah.
It's easy to rack up unexpected charges if you're not careful about monitoring your cloud usage.
Oh, for sure.
Luckily, cloud providers offer cost calculators and budget alerts to help you stay on track.
That's good. So it's crucial to be mindful of costs from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other common challenges that come to mind?
Trying to learn too many tools at once can be a recipe for frustration. It's tempting to jump into the deep end.
Yeah.
But it's better to focus on mastering a few key tools before branching out.
So maybe stick with those essential services for the website project, like S3 for storage and EC2 for compute, and get comfortable with those before exploring more advanced tools.
Right.
And what about troubleshooting?
Ah, yes.
What happens when something inevitably goes wrong?
Troubleshooting can definitely be challenging.
Right.
But cloud providers offer extensive documentation, forums, and online communities where you can find help.
That's good.
Don't be afraid to ask questions and learn from others who've faced similar challenges.
Yeah, for sure. It sounds like building a personal website in the cloud is a fantastic way to gain practical experience, learn valuable skills, and even build a portfolio piece to showcase to potential employers. But where do you go from there?
Right.
How do you continue to learn and grow in such a rapidly evolving field?
That's a great question. And one we'll explore further in the next part of our deep dive.
Oh, okay.
We'll delve into advanced concepts, explore more complex projects, and discuss the importance of continuous learning in the ever-changing world of cloud computing.
So stay tuned because we're just getting started. We'll be back after a short.
Welcome back. Before we went away, we were talking about how even a simple website project can give you a taste of some powerful cloud concepts.
Yeah, exactly.
And one that really captures the imagination is serverless computing.
Okay.
It sounds like something straight out of science fiction.
It does. It does. When I hear serverless, my brain kind of short circuits. I mean, obviously there are servers involved somewhere, right?
You're absolutely right. There are still servers humming away behind the scenes.
Okay.
But the beauty of serverless is that you, the developer, don't have to think about them.
Okay.
It's like having a personal chef who magically prepared your meals.
Right.
Without you ever seeing the kitchen.
So I can just focus on the recipe, the code itself, and let the cloud provider handle all the chopping, the cooking, and the cleaning.
Precisely. You write your code, you package it as a function, and the cloud platform takes care of everything else, running it, scaling it, and ensuring it's secure.
That sounds incredibly liberating.
Yeah, it is.
But what kind of real-world applications can I actually build using this serverless magic?
Well, remember that image resizing example we touched on earlier?
Yeah.
Let's say you have a website where users can upload photos and you want to automatically generate thumbnails for each image.
Okay.
That's something I struggle with all the time.
Me too.
I end up resizing images manually.
Right. It's such a time suck.
It is.
Yeah.
With serverless, you could write a small function that's triggered every time a new image is uploaded to your storage bucket. That function would grab the image, resize it to create a thumbnail, and then save the thumbnail back to your storage.
Okay.
All without you needing to set up or manage a server.
So I wouldn't have a server constantly running, just waiting for an image to be uploaded.
Exactly. The function only runs when it's needed, and you only pay for the tiny amount of compute time that it uses. This makes it incredibly cost-effective for tasks that happen sporadically.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
What other types of tasks are well-suited for serverless computing?
It's ideal for... event-driven tasks.
Okay.
Things like processing data from IoT devices.
Right.
Sending email notifications, or even running back-end logic for a mobile app.
So instead of building a monolithic application that's always running,
right,
you can kind of break it down into these smaller independent functions,
yeah,
that are triggered by specific events. I'm starting to see the appeal of this approach.
Yeah. It's a different way of thinking about application development, and mm-hmm, it can be incredibly powerful.
Okay. But let's move on to another project idea that was mentioned in our materials, building a CI/CD pipeline.
Yeah.
I have to admit, those acronyms sound pretty intimidating.
They do. But the concept itself is quite intuitive. CI/CD stands for Continuous Integration and Continuous Delivery, or Continuous Deployment. Think of it as an automated assembly line for your software.
Okay, so instead of manually building and deploying my code every time I make a change,
right,
I can set up this pipeline to do it for me automatically.
Exactly. You write your code, you commit it to a repository like GitHub, and the CI/CD pipeline takes over. It automatically runs tests, builds your application, and even deploys it to your chosen environment.
So I can essentially push a button,
yeah,
have my code go live,
right,
without any manual intervention.
That's the goal. And the continuous part means that this process can happen with every code change.
Okay.
Ensuring that your software is always in a deployable state.
That sounds incredibly efficient.
It is.
What are the main benefits of using a CI/CD pipeline?
The biggest advantages are speed, reliability, and consistency.
Okay.
By automating the build and deployment process, you can release updates more frequently.
Okay.
And with less risk of errors. It also frees up developers to focus on writing code, not on tedious manual tasks.
I can see how this would be a game changer for development teams.
Yeah, it is.
But what about database management?
Yes.
That was another project idea mentioned in our materials.
Right.
Where does that fit into the picture?
Database management is essential.
Okay.
Even if you're building a simple website.
Right.
You need a place to store user data, content, mm-hmm, and other information. And with cloud computing, you have a variety of database services to choose from.
So instead of setting up and managing my own database server, I can just use a managed database service in the cloud.
Exactly. Cloud providers offer everything from relational databases like MySQL and PostgreSQL to NoSQL databases like MongoDB and Cassandra.
Okay.
They handle all the complexities of setup, maintenance, and scaling.
That sounds much easier than managing my own database.
Yeah.
But with all this data being stored in the cloud, how do I ensure that it's secure?
Security is paramount when it comes to databases.
Mm-hmm.
Cloud providers offer a range of security features, including encryption at rest and in transit, access controls, and auditing capabilities.
So I can implement measures to protect my database from unauthorized access, data breaches, and other threats.
Absolutely. Security should always be top of mind when working with cloud databases.
Right, for sure.
And remember, even if you're using managed services, you still have a responsibility to implement best practices.
Okay.
And configure your security settings appropriately.
Okay, that's really good advice. We've covered a lot of ground today.
We have.
From serverless computing to CI/CD pipelines and database management.
Yeah.
It's clear that even as a beginner, you can dive into some pretty sophisticated cloud concepts.
You can.
But I think it's easy to get caught up in the technology and forget about the bigger picture.
I agree. We need to remember that cloud computing is ultimately a tool, a powerful tool.
Right.
But for solving problems and achieving goals.
So it's not just about learning the latest buzzwords or mastering specific tools. It's about understanding how to leverage the cloud to build solutions that create value.
Exactly.
Whether it's for yourself, your business, or the world at large.
Precisely. And that's where those practical tips we discussed earlier come in.
Yeah.
Joining a community, experimenting regularly, documenting everything,
right,
and staying curious. These are the habits that will help you not just learn about the cloud, but actually use it effectively.
So as we move into the final part of our deep dive,
yeah,
I want to encourage you to think about the problems you're passionate about, the ideas you want to bring to life, because the cloud is a platform for turning those ideas into reality.
That's a great segue into our final segment, where we'll explore how you can start applying these concepts to your own unique goals and aspirations.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We've been laying the groundwork for your cloud computing journey, exploring everything from cloud stacks to serverless functions. But now it's time to shift gears and talk about you. What are you hoping to achieve with the cloud?
Yeah, we've talked about these hypothetical projects like building a website.
Right.
But what are the real world problems you want to solve?
Mm-hmm.
The ideas that keep you up at night. The cloud is more than just technology. It's a tool for turning those dreams into reality.
So how do you go from, you know, learning about cloud services to actually applying them in a meaningful way? What's that missing link?
The missing link is often a compelling why. I remember working with a student who was passionate about wildlife conservation.
Oh, wow.
She wanted to build an app that would use satellite imagery to track deforestation patterns in the Amazon rainforest.
That's amazing. Did she have a background in cloud computing?
Not really.
Okay.
But she had the drive, the passion, and the willingness to learn.
Right.
She used the cloud to process massive amounts of satellite data, build predictive models, and create visualizations that help raise awareness about this critical issue.
Wow, that's a powerful example of how the cloud can be used for good, to make a tangible impact on the world. It's inspiring to see someone with no prior experience, you know, just dive in and build something so impactful.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it highlights something crucial.
Yeah.
The cloud isn't just for like tech giants or seasoned developers.
Right.
It's for anyone with a problem to solve, a story to tell, or a vision to bring to life.
So if someone listening is feeling inspired, but a bit overwhelmed, where should they start?
Start small. Think about a problem in your own life or work that could be solved with technology. Maybe it's automating a tedious task, building a simple app, or even just organizing your data in a more efficient way.
Okay. And once you have that problem in mind, how do you bridge that gap between the idea and actually building a solution in the cloud?
That's where those practical tips we've been emphasizing come in.
Right.
Join a community. Find mentors. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Experiment with different cloud services. Break things.
Yeah.
Learn from your mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And most importantly, document your journey.
That documentation piece is something I wanted to touch on. It's easy to get caught up in the excitement of building and forget to take notes along the way.
Right.
Why is documentation so important?
It's more than just remembering what you did. Documentation helps solidify your understanding.
Okay.
Allows you to share your knowledge with others and builds a portfolio that showcases your skills to potential employers or collaborators.
It's like building a roadmap for yourself and for others who might follow in your footsteps.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of roadmaps, what's the best way to stay on track and avoid getting lost in the vastness of the cloud?
The cloud is constantly evolving, so continuous learning is key. Set aside time each week to explore new services, read blog posts, listen to podcasts like this one, and experiment with different technologies.
Yeah, it's like any skill, right?
Right.
The more you practice, the more confident and proficient you become. And the cloud offers just endless opportunities for exploration and growth.
Exactly. And as you gain experience, you'll find that the cloud becomes less intimidating and more of a playground for innovation.
Yeah.
A place where you can test your ideas, push your boundaries, and build truly amazing things.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, we want to leave you with a sense of empowerment and possibility. The cloud is a powerful tool, but the real magic happens when you combine it with your own creativity, passion, and determination.
Go forth and build. Mm-hmm. Solve those problems, create those solutions, and share your journey with the world. Who knows? You might just inspire the next generation of cloud innovators.
Thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive. We'll be back next time with another fascinating topic and a fresh stack of resources to explore. Until then, happy clouding.